Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest is a welcome returnee to the show. He was a joy when we spoke about happy economics a few months ago. I'm delighted to say he's back with a new book called Work Happier. It's great to welcome back Lord Mark Price. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bobby. It's great to be back with you again.
Yeah. Now, you've been doing loads of work since we last spoke. And your new book, Work Happier, am I right just to say that it's not the responsibility of the employer to make an employee happy? It's a shared responsibility, or is it the employee's responsibility?
Well, it's a great place to start, because I think a lot of people go to work and think, well, it's my employer's job to make me happy at work. And what I set out in the new book, Work Happier, is that it's down for every employee to think about their own happiness and to work with the employee to make sure that they've got a happy, fulfilling and successful job. So first and foremost, you've got to think about it from your own perspective when you go into work and what you can do to make your working life happier for you. And in the new book, as we'll go on to talk about, I set out all the ways in which people can do that.
And one of the things I liked, Mark, was in the book you say what your rights are. So there's like 10 points there, and then what your responsibilities are. And I thought that was very well captured in that, you know, you are entitled to certain things, such as to be recognised for good performance, to be trained or developed, to be kept well informed. But then coupled with that on the same page are your responsibilities to give your best effort, to be punctual, to be positive, to represent the company well. I thought it was a balanced approach that showed that there were responsibilities for both parties.
Well, I think that's right, because I think a lot of people can think it's a one-way street. You know, I go into work and I should get everything, but it is two-way. You know, if you treat people well, if you give of your best, then you should expect in return to be treated in a certain way, to be treated well. So you're right. What I've tried to do with the Work Happy Happiness Charter is to set out how work should feel for you, exactly as you've said. You know, the fact that you should be trained, you should be treated with respect, you should be paid fairly, you should be acknowledged when you do something well. Those are things that you should get when you go to work. You should expect them. But equally, exactly as you set out, you know, you should be giving your best to the company. You should be positive about the company. You know, you should be honest and straightforward and all the things that we set out. So it's two-way. If you do your best for the company, then you should expect the company, the organisation, to do its best for you. So I think that everybody does have a right to be happy at work. You should be thinking about, are you happy? And the reason it's so important, Bobby, is that at work, we do a free happy at work test. We do it all over the world. 1.5 million people in the last year have done it. And in addition to that, we work with 1,000 organisations around the world helping them. And one of the things that our research shows is if people are happy in their jobs, they are paid better than their unhappy counterparts, they're more likely to be promoted, they are less likely to take time off sick, and their mental health and well-being, physical well-being, is better. But also it's great for the company, because those people give extra effort and they produce more and they are, you know, just better for the company and its success. So it's a win-win for both the individual and for the company.
I was going to ask you about that research. So that's 1.5 million people. That's the sample base. So it's a fairly sizable account of people. So the research and the surveys you have, you know, it's good data. Am I right in saying, you know, you said that some of the key findings, but you also said that those employees are more likely to stay, and as you also said, they're more likely to be more productive. How do we measure that, Mark?
So you're absolutely right. So as I said, we work with 1,000 companies around the world now. And what we do is we look at how they score in the survey that we do with them, and we link that to their staff turnover, and we link it to their sick absence in the companies, and we link it to productivity. And so what I can say, and I set this out in the book that I wrote last year, that we talked about last year, Happy Economics, what I set out there is that link, that those companies that have the happiest employees, the most engaged, satisfied employees, they have on average 20% higher profits, on average 24% higher profitability, and on average their shares or share improvements are about 100% more than their competitors. So what all of our data has showed, and it goes back now over 7-8 years, is that happy employees are good for a company, but they're also good for the individual. And one of the reasons productivity is higher is that if people stay longer in their job, they become more experienced, training sticks. We find that customer service scores are higher with employees who are happy in their job than unhappy in their job. So all the data says it's great for individuals and it's also great for organizations.
And you also looked at this data, you know, along the G20 group. So, and am I right in saying that the UK came last out of all the G20 countries that you looked at? Why was that?
Yes, I mean, sadly, it's the truth. And I mean, in our surveys, about a third of people who complete our survey are unhappy in work. And so theoretically are not doing themselves a service and certainly not doing the organisations they work for a service. And you're right, Ireland scores higher, you'll be pleased to hear, than the UK. The UK is bottom of the G20 in terms of happiness of its workforce, and that's where it sits in terms of its productivity. So what we find is that the happiness scores for companies and countries mirrors their productivity. And the reason why in the UK, well, it's pretty well across the board. I mean, we score lower than, say, Ireland or the USA on things like being recognised when you do something well, feeling that your views are listened to, feeling that you're being developed. So we measure 6 different areas, Bobby. We measure sort of 21 questions across those areas. And what I know from my lifetime of experience in business is that these are the things that really drive happiness at work, motivation. It's not about free beer on a Friday night or pizzas. Your listeners might be smiling thinking, yeah, but they're not bad things, and they're not.
Force-fed.
Yeah, but it's things like, you know, are you fairly paid? Are you being recognised? Do you have the information to do your job? Are you treated with respect? Are your views listened to? Does the company think about your well-being and health? Do you feel proud of where you're working? Are you being developed? All of those things are the real things that motivate a workforce.
I wanted to also ask you about, I suppose, the evolution of the workplace. Are we in danger now of having a kind of a two-tier workforce? You mentioned this in the book, where retailers, people working in transport, nurses, you know, people who are in the moment of work, who physically have to be there, are going to be treated differently than those who can work hybridly or work from home.
Well, it's a very good point, and you're right. I mean, we measure companies across 26 sectors. And what you find is the ones that you've mentioned tend to score least well. So retail, hospitality, health, they do less well. But in theory, the things that we look at should be equally applicable. But what we're finding is that people who work remotely are happier than people who have to go into a job every day and be there for customers and whatever. And people who are hybrid are happier than people who are totally remote because they get a balance. So in our scores, what we find that, but really good retailers, really good hospitality companies, they know how to look after their people. When they come into the work, you know, they make them feel good. They, you know, they look after them. So even though in broad terms, those industries that we've mentioned are at the bottom, there are shining examples in all of them. There are great hospitality businesses, you know, hotels in Ireland. There are some wonderful ones that score very highly in our surveys. There are great retail businesses that do well. So you're right in generality, but there are big differences within sectors.
Okay. You also mentioned something in the book that I hadn't seen before, but I was aware of it. Wellness washing. Is that very prevalent among companies that you know, they're talking the talk of, you know, we're looking after you, we love you, we're concerned about your mental health. And really, all they care about is the bottom line and the shareholder value.
I put it a slightly different way, I think, Bobby. What we find is that there are quite a lot of companies who want to do the right thing, and they'll have things like mental health first aiders, which is a great thing to have. But what they often forget is it's the relationship that people have with their manager that's absolutely core. So you can build all these packages around the place. You can have access to mental health. You can have, you know, access to, you know, fresh fruit that people put on the counter, and all of those things are good. I'm not against any of them. But what they forget is it's that day-to-day interaction between the manager and the person they're managing that's crucial. Whether that manager acknowledges them when they come in the morning, says, good morning, how are you doing? Takes a personal interest in them, takes an interest in the work they're doing, makes sure they're well-informed, listens to their views, makes them feel proud of the job that they're doing. And when they do a good job, actually says, oh, well, really well done, thinks about their development and how they can be better and how they can help them be better. It's those things that are really driving performance and well-being and happiness at work. You can, the other things are fine, but you've got to have that kind of day-to-day interaction to make it all come together.
And finally, can I say to you, Mark, or ask you about maybe pushing it too far? A company I worked for here for many years, Bewley's, went bust because of the pension contributions that they couldn't pay. And again, it was all founded out of a really good initiative. I think your own company that you were with for many years, John Lewis Waitrose, had some similar challenges. So do we need to be mindful that, you know, financial stability at the end of the day is the best thing that you can probably do for your employee, as in that you give them job security?
Well, we could talk forever about pensions, couldn't we, and the fact that people are living later and pension schemes are becoming, you know, more difficult and less affordable. But I think that the main thing is that the things that I talk about don't have a cost to them. Acknowledging when somebody's done something well, training somebody, listening to their views, these aren't things that are going to cost money. And so what I do when I work, or what my Workle does when we work with companies, is that we help organisations understand the things that drive performance, the things that drive extra discretionary effort that are not a cost on the bottom line, but improve the bottom line. So that's the really big thing. A lot of people, Bobby, say, oh, it's all about pay, you need to pay more. But you get to a point where it's not about pay. It's about people feeling that they're doing something worthwhile, they like working with the team, they like working with their manager, they're making a difference, they're being recognised, they feel part of something bigger than themselves. Those are the things that really drive people on a daily basis to want to go to work, to want to give more.
All right. Well, look, it's been a great conversation as always, Mark. Refreshing attitude. Positivity can't be overstated, as they say. The book is called Work Happier. The author is Mark Price. Thanks for joining us as always, Mark.
It's my pleasure, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.